You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen. Amen and good morning. Good morning to everyone. I told our staff we're probably going to have the biggest service ever, first service, and it's going to be cricket second service because everybody's excited that the Broncos finally made the playoffs. I just hope God sees my sacrifice as I will be here worshiping God and delivering his word. Now, if we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and I want to emphasize what Zach is saying. There's a lot of really great things happening at the Vineyard, and we would love to come alongside of you and help you walk out your life with God. He had mentioned the boot camps, but I also want to just take a minute to talk about Vision Night. Vision Night is coming up on Wednesday, January 22nd from 6:30 to 8 p.m. right in this room. This is a kind of a meeting that we host every year in January that I would love to invite you to, because it's all about celebrating what God has done and kind of charting the course for where we feel God is inviting us to go in the future. And every Vision Night, I think, has important messages and unique things to share. This year is really special. We're going to have some key updates on where we're at with our community center, Love Foco. We'll talk about that. But we're also going to ordain a pastor, which is going to be really special. And we would love for you to be part of that, because ordination, biblically, is kind of seen when God places his hand on someone for a lifetime of ministry, and the body of Christ or the local church affirms that calling within that person. And so it would be really meaningful if you were here for part of that. And then, of course, we'll talk about all the key objectives for the upcoming year. And if you're wondering if Vision Night is for you, or you too new to the church, or you don't know much about the church, listen, Vision Night is for everyone. Longtime members and owners and investors in this church, people who've been leading for a long time, or people who are brand new to the Vineyard. I find that every year, people who are kind of considering or wondering if this is going to be their local church, they come to Vision Night, and it helps clear that up, either towards a yes or towards a maybe there's another great local church in our community that better fits kind of where I'm at. I just want to invite everyone to consider that night. And so mark that date, save that date, Wednesday, January 22nd, 6:30 p.m. It's a great time, but very meaningful to share that space together as well. Well, we're in this series. We started it last week, a series called Hijacked, where we're re-examining some key words to our faith, and we're asking God to redeem how the culture has kind of taken these biblical words and morphed them or hijacked them over time. You know, it's just really true that religious words and words about faith, they tend to lose their power over time because of what's kind of happening in the swirl around us. And so we need to go back to the source, and we need to ask God to redefine and reapply those truths to our heart in a fresh kind of way. We started this series last week by talking about the word Christian, how Christian over the years has been hijacked. I think we would all agree that that word Christian, it means something totally different to the world around us than what it means and what we find in the scripture. And so we talked about that. And this morning, we're moving into trigger word territory. So just be warned. Some of you will love the word that we have chosen for today. Others, you hate this word. So I'm just telling you now on the front end so you're aware of it. But this word, it means 100 different things to 100 different people. And depending on the context and the scenario you are in, it may be a word of great blessing, or it may be a word of, that's just quite almost like a curse word. Just depends on the context you're in. Today's word for us this morning is evangelical. Evangelical. I literally saw some of your faces just change right before my very eyes. Others, you looked to your neighbor and you said, what the heck is that? I don't even know what that means. For some of you, this word, it is like a curse word, and you don't like this word anymore. The way the culture has taken it and hijacked it for its own purposes have kind of robbed the true meaning of this word. And for others, this word is irrelevant, and you have no idea what it means. But I will tell you, if you go back to the Bible, if you go back to the source, the very word of God, our authority for living today, you will see that the foundation of this word is incredibly inspiring for almost all of us in this room. But it's true, it's been politicized over the years, it's been co-opted, it's been misapplied in so many different ways that oftentimes now we find people running from the word evangelical. And in large part, this is because if you're outside the church or you're learning about faith, or maybe you find yourself in a secular world, evangelical has kind of become synonymous with things that people are against, right? Like anti-science or anti-education, anti-women or anti-refugee. In extreme cases, people synonymize the word evangelical with like Christian nationalism, and they think these things go together. Am I stirring the pot enough for you yet this morning? But I can tell you, this word evangelical, it used to be a wonderful word. Even just a few decades ago, the word evangelical was tied to powerful movements of God, and where millions of people were starting personal relationships with Jesus. It's not that long ago that you have to think about the word evangelical maybe being tied to someone like Billy Graham and this worldwide ministry of preaching the gospel with truth and grace, helping people find faith in God. But now it's largely been classified as a negative word, particularly from non-Christians. And in my generation and the generations after me are pretty much wholesale rejecting that word because of some of the baggage that comes along with it. But if you're going to be a serious Christian thinker, if you're going to really dig into the Bible and dig into Christian theology and doctrine and thought, you can't just take into account the last few decades of thinking, because our faith is way older than that. Our faith is way older than what you've witnessed in the last 5 or 10 years. Our faith dates back to 2,000 years with the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. And even that, the Christian roots date further back to the scriptures of the Old Testament. I mean, anyone who tells you today that they have like a new edge on Christianity or something new to share with you about your life with God, you should run from that person. They are being foolish. Can we just be that honest with each other this morning? If someone tells you they have a new way of thinking when it comes to Christianity, you should talk to them about how ancient our faith is. It's older than this building, than this city, than our nation. Our faith dates back centuries, and we stand on the shoulders of millions who have come before us. So we always have to go back. If you're going to be a serious Christian thinker, you always have to go back to the source and to the scripture. You have to go back thousands of years to understand God's word so that you can better apply it to your life today. In the Old Testament, 700 years or so before Jesus walked the earth, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah wrote these words in chapter 52, verse 7. He said, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns." Now, in this verse, if you have your Bibles and you have a pen and an underliner or whatever you want to do, if you don't have that, just log this away. Because every time you see that phrase, good news, in this verse, you're looking at the foundation of the word for evangelism or evangelical. Now, I realize the word's been hijacked to the nth degree. We talked about that already. But the roots of evangelical are found in the fact that Jesus is king, and in his kingdom, you will find peace and you will find salvation. Evangelical comes from the Greek word euangelion, which basically means to announce and to proclaim the message of God's good news. If you want to dig into that a little more in my sermon notes at votrweekly.org, you can follow the link that I have a 5-minute video that explains kind of the heartbeat of that word. I'd recommend you watching that on your own time because this word was powerful. It was a meaningful word and it contained the good news of God's kingdom for you and for me. This news of God's kingdom that contains peace and salvation. And I can tell you, I have experienced that in some of the deepest ways imaginable. And because I've experienced God's kingdom in a deeply personal way, I've committed my life to helping others find a life with God. When I first became a Christian, I was 19 years old. I'd spent most of my life and definitely most of my teenage life running in the complete opposite direction of God. But when I first became a Christian, it happened because I had a powerful encounter with Jesus. I had just gotten back from a spring break trip to Cancun, Mexico, where like all the bad things about a spring break trip to Cancun, Mexico happened. And as I was getting ready for bed back in the States, the Lord revealed himself to me in such an incredible way, I will never forget what happened that night. And I won't go into all the details of what I saw and what I experienced, but at the end of this encounter with God, I had what I've now come to know as two visions kind of play out before my very eyes. Back then, I didn't have the language for what was happening to me. The easiest way to explain it is that it was like I was watching a movie screen play out right in front of me. And I could see it with my own eyes. I've since now studied scripture and learned about walking with God and learned that he still speaks to his people through things like dreams and visions today. But I had two of them and they were kind of back to back. And in the first one, I was leading all kinds of people on a dark and windy road to a giant bonfire at the end of this path. And the overall feeling was one of darkness and oppression. And I basically stood up in front of everybody and started telling them about all of the horrible things that I had done in my life. And I was sharing these horrible things like I was some kind of war hero and people were celebrating my sinful life. And I was grabbing as many people as I could and taking them on that same path. And then right before my very eyes, it flashed to another vision and I was placed on another path. This path was narrow and it was straight. And at the end of it was a bright light that was like a living light. And out of that light, Jesus revealed himself to me. And he said, I want you to lead people to me. I want you to lead people to me. And in that moment, with all of the warmth and excitement and power and holiness that I was experiencing in this second vision, I mean, I can tell you it was warmth and it was invitation, but it also included conviction. At the same time, it included peace, but also power, almost an unnerving power at the same time. And it was all about me leaving this first vision, the way that I was actually living my life at the time, and giving my life to Jesus and committing to living this second vision. I remember just weeping and saying out loud, God, if you will pick me when I'm at my absolute worst, then I will live this second vision. And that was my moment of salvation. I didn't have any like clever prayers, no one helping me along the way. I just remember, I'll leave that vision and I'll live this vision. If this is when you'll find me, when I'm at my worst, I'll give you my life. And I've been trying to help people find a life with God ever since. Now, leading people to Jesus, it means a lot of different things. And I'm committed to all of it. I'm committed to every age and every stage. And here at the Vineyard, we're committed to it. We're committed to helping people find a life with God. It's who I am. It's who we are. And I've just settled, if that makes me somewhat of an evangelical, or if that makes our church somewhat evangelistic, then so be it. I want to be in the business of helping people find a life with God, a life with transforming power that can take you from an old life to a new life. Found in Jesus. I just want to make sure that I'm getting my definition of these things from the original source, not the cultural swirl around us today. I want to make sure the good news we are proclaiming the way we are evangelistic in nature, I want it to be marked by the peace and the salvation that we read about in Isaiah 52. And it would be foolish for me at this point to jump on to whatever is next. Let me just pause here for a moment and let me just ask the church, everyone in this room, and if you're viewing online, have you ever given your life to God like that? Have you ever made a personal commitment to follow Jesus? Maybe you've been hanging around church your whole life. Maybe you're brand new to church and you never knew that it was actually important to give your life to Jesus. Listen, if you've never made a decision like that, the peace and salvation of Christ can be yours today. And by the end of our service, we'll help you make a decision to start a life with God this morning. I pray that as you make that decision, you'll experience the same love that's marked my heart and marked my life ever since. As you pray and as you think about making that decision, I do want to dig into the scripture a little bit more because there's some beautiful passages about proclaiming the message of Jesus that I want to share with you this morning, sharing this good news. You know, this whole idea of being evangelistic to the world around us, it's everywhere throughout the Bible. And so we're going to look at two passages in the time that we have left together. We're going to look at one passage that kind of gives us our calling, and then we're going to look at a second passage that gives us our heartbeat, how we're to go about doing this. So first, let's flip from Isaiah 52, but you can keep Isaiah 52 marked if you want, because we'll go back to that. Let's flip to Romans 10, because in Romans 10, this is a famous passage when it comes to the original meaning of euangelion, this original meaning of evangelical, a declaration of God's good news. This is a longer chunk of scripture. I'm going to read it all for you on the front end, and then we'll take a look at it together. Romans 10, starting in the second half of verse 8. The message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. What a beautiful passage. What a beautiful passage. I mean, Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead and you make Jesus your Lord, which basically means he's the leader of your life. You're no longer leading your own life. You're surrendering your life to his leadership. It says you will be saved. And again, if you've never done that before, Romans 10, it just summarized how to start a life with God. And we'll help you do that later in our service. It's this belief in Jesus, but even more, it's making him the Lord of your life. But for the rest of our time, I do want to zero in on verses 14 and 15, because that's where we kind of find our calling in this passage. It's central to who we are as Christians. It's why we believe so strongly in sharing and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me just read 14 and 15 again. It says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. How beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who euangelion, who proclaim and announce that God's kingdom is here with peace and salvation for all. And that phrase, good news, that's where we, again, get this word evangelical. It was used all over the place in first century Israel. It was used all over the Roman Empire. And in the secular context, it was actually used as a way of describing a giant announcement that needed to be proclaimed throughout the land. And so when a new political leader would rise to power, or maybe there was a military accomplishment, that they would literally send out ambassadors with the news about what had just happened to spread that to everyone because they needed to hear the message. And so when Jesus Christ came and lived among us and died on the cross and was buried and resurrected back to life as our resurrected King, this news had to be proclaimed and announced throughout the world. And so in a way, that's the culture has hijacked evangelical from us, but in a way, we were the first ones to hijack the word. We stole it in the first century and applied it to the message of Jesus Christ that needed to be proclaimed. And in case you think Paul's only talking to pastors or Paul's only writing to preachers, I can assure you he was not. He wrote this letter to the church in Rome, and it was circulated amongst the churches. Anyone who would have gathered like we're gathered today would have heard this message, and they would have read it again and again and again, because it's easy to forget God's word. It's easy to drift a little bit. It's easy to think that everyone else is responsible to share the good news and not me. And so we just need to be reminded of what God has actually told us. And quite simply, this is one of the easiest ways to say it, is that you are being sent. You are being sent. You're being sent by God and this incredible mission of spreading his good news all over the world. The good news that God's love and acceptance doesn't rely on our behavior. The good news that our best behavior will still fall short, but our worst behavior will never disqualify us. God loves you. In fact, he loves to love you. It brings him joy to love you. The good news that you, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you can be saved. You are part of that mission and you are being sent. How else will people know? How else will people hear? How else will people believe? Do you want to know a really dangerous prayer that you can pray? This is like a dangerous prayer. If you start praying it, I promise you God will answer this prayer. I was getting ready this morning and I was just asking God, God, what do you want to do today? What do you want to say in the midst of all of our time together? Is there something specific that you want to say? And I just felt like the Lord laid this prayer on my heart and he's inviting me to share it with you this morning. It's a very simple prayer, but it's a dangerous prayer. The prayer is, God, is there someone in my life who doesn't know about you that you're sending me to share your love with? If you pray that prayer and you listen to what God might say to you, he will answer that prayer. And then you're kind of at a crossroads. I've prayed the prayer, Lord, you answered it. Now am I going to follow and obey, or am I just going to go and do my own thing? But if you pray that prayer, God will answer that prayer and it will change your life. It will be part of your discipleship. It will transform you to be part of God's messengers, the ones who have beautiful feet carrying his good news to the world. And I promise you that as you pray that prayer and you listen and you follow, you will also be part of God's mission of transforming all things. And there will be dozens and dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of people waiting for you in heaven if you will pray that prayer and you will really listen and you will follow. God, is there someone in my life who doesn't know about your love that you want me to share with? The good news of peace and salvation for all. You're being sent. You are being sent. And even more, if we can kind of just continue on that phrase and tease it out just a little bit more by adding another passage to our understanding this morning, I would say that you are being sent with good news. And I know that feels like it should be a normal and standard qualifier, but it's not. We should qualify it. You are being sent with good news. I feel like we're pretty transparent and honest church, so let me just be really honest with you right now for a moment. If the news you are sharing is not good news, can you please stop sharing that news? Can we agree on that together? If it's not good news, Just stop sharing it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have met people who are trying to share news and it's horrible news. And I think to myself, man, the Jesus you know and the Jesus I know, they're like completely different people. The Jesus you're talking about and the Jesus I read about in these pages, they're not in line with one another, because the Jesus I know transforms you from the inside out, offers peace and salvation. There's a new life that comes. My old has gone and the new has come. He's taken my heart of stone and replaced it with a heart of flesh. Now all of a sudden I'm partnering with God's great mission. That feels like good news. And sometimes the news we share feels really bad news. The more you get to know the Lord, the more you study his word and you walk with him in a personal and daily way, the more good news you will have to share with the world who's desperate for what Christ has, desperate for real transformation. This is the good news that we are called to share. I opened with Isaiah 52, just one verse, and then we move to Romans 10. But I want to go back to Isaiah 52. If you kept that, just flip back, because Romans 10, it actually gets its language from Isaiah 52. And I love, if you keep reading past verse 7, the other language that's used to describe the good news. This is kind of where we get our heartbeat for this calling of being sent. Listen to Isaiah 52, 7 through 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout and sing with joy, for before their very eyes they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Verse 10, the Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of all nations. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. The good news is that when Jesus is king, peace and salvation follow. That joy begins to spring up all around us. It says the ruins of Jerusalem are rebuilt. See, in that time, Jerusalem was demolished, and God is saying, I can redeem all things. I can redeem all that was lost. I can offer peace where there's chaos, freedom where there's bondage, hope where there's hopelessness. The Lord will comfort his people and demonstrate his power, and all will see the victory of our Lord. And lest you forget, how did that victory come? It didn't come by political might or military forcefulness or spiritual hand-wringing. It came through our suffering servant, Jesus Christ, laying his life down on the cross so that all could be reconciled and all could be redeemed. If you keep reading in Isaiah 52 and into Isaiah 53, you read about how the victory is won through the suffering servant, the one who stretched out his hands, was unjustly condemned, pierced for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. This is good news. Do you need comfort in your life? Do you need any level of joy? Or do you have enough joy and you're just like, no, I'm good on joy? No, do you? Of course. Are there parts of your life that have fallen apart? And as you just take a real honest, transparent look at your life, you say, man, part of my life is in ruins. I need the redemption of God to come. I need to experience God's power and God's victory. All of this begins and it continues on when you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead and you declare or you confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And it says, how beautiful is the news. How beautiful are the feet of those who carry this message to the hurting and broken world. It's true, guys. Listen, it's true. I will level with you. The word evangelical has taken a little bit of a turn. It doesn't mean what it meant in the book. It doesn't mean that anymore. Even to the point where today it's not always useful to use that word in circumstances. But the heartbeat of evangelical, the heartbeat of Romans 10 and Isaiah 52 is how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who carry the good news that Christ is King. And when we pledge our life to him, we're made whole. And our families can be made whole, and our neighborhoods can be made whole, and our businesses can be made whole, our schools can be made whole, our cities and beyond can be made whole. The problem with words is we don't always know where they've been. But if we go back to the source, we can remember again and again and again that God has placed a calling on your life. You are being sent, and even more, you are being sent with good news. Good news for a people in need of transformation. Your feet, your beautiful feet can carry the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, the world is crying out for a spiritual answer, and they're not being satisfied with everything they're finding around them. They need something only Christ can give, and you have the message to carry. You have the message to carry. Let's pray together.